My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games and a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Welcome in. This is the newest edition of the Character Concerns podcast. My name is Kristen Osero, joined as always by my guy, Jay Binkley. The college football season now is officially done. We only have Senior Bowl, Shrine Bowl, etc. left as far as after-season activities. Those are more so built around players who are going pro. But right now, we're done with any and all games that actually count towards something. And now we are getting ready to start the evaluation process of these guys who are going to be in the 2024 NFL draft.
It's bittersweet, isn't it, buddy? It's bittersweet. It is so long, and now we have to say goodbye to it. But it is draft season. It is draft season where every little thing matters for these players. We get to see some of them in some big-time games, some of them we didn't. But now it is all looking towards 2024.
Yeah, and I'm very excited now because we are – what, a month and a half, a little less than 2 months away from the combine. So that is going to be very, very important. Me and you have both talked about how the combine is going to really kind of solidify the draft position for a lot of different players out there. And I am very excited to see where we start to see some of these mock drafts go. I'm excited to see how these pro days go. I think the first stop there before we get to all of that is going to be the Senior Bowl. We have the first list of underclassmen who have been invited to the Senior Bowl. We have the practices are really going to be like the prime thing here. That's going to be where we get to see these guys go against each other, get that NFL coaching, and those reps are going to be so valuable for them.
We're talking of 2 weeks, man. It's Saturday, yes. September 3rd for the Senior Bowl. Oh, and by the way, happy almost 1 year anniversary. We've been doing this show for about a year now.
Almost a year. It'll be right before the combine.
That sounds pretty crazy. No, we started in February.
Yes.
It's like, that's crazy that we did this for almost a year.
Almost a year.
Buddy. It's been a lot of fun. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, we appreciate you guys taking time out of your day to listen to us. But we got to talk about this college football championship game. Michigan completed the mission. We talked about at the beginning of the year, Michigan was probably the most talented team of the teams out there. And, you know, they've been in the college football playoff the previous two seasons, had lost in the semifinals. This was the first time since the college football playoff started that they made it to the finals. And they faced off against a very good Washington team. And they took care of business. They won 34-13. You got some decent, not great performances from the offensive end, at least from J.J. McCarthy. 10 for 18 for 140 yards, so that's kind of par for the course for what he's done since November.
Big numbers early on.
It's dried up so much.
What they've been doing right in that defense, man. That defense is a pro defense.
Oh, it's a great defense.
That's what I thought. Yeah,
defense. And their offensive line, too, is great. Yeah. It's great as well.
You look at elite defense going against elite offense, and a lot of times it's that elite defense that ends up winning in these big-time games.
Well, I mean, it's kind of hard to play elite defense at that level just because the simplicity of the schemes and whatnot, and just because the offense has so much of an advantage today. But Michigan's defense was for real, and they went out there and they took care of business.
Number one scoring defense in the country.
Yeah. Their running backs for Michigan, Blake Corum, 21 carries, 134 yards, two touchdowns. Donovan Edwards, 6 carries, 104 yards, two touchdowns. To me, he was so impressive in that game on Monday night. And I think he kind of pushed his draft stock up a little bit. Certainly, I think, you know, second, maybe third day, he's going to be someone that a team is going to look at as a good secondary back to help complement whoever they have on their team. I think he made himself some money for sure.
Yeah, Blake Corum's the guy. I mean, you know, you think about how good he's been this season, and it's been about Blake Corum last year too, where he's on his Heisman trajectory until really it came down towards the end. In the last 4 games of the year or so, Donovan Edwards had to take over. He had over 200 yards rushing in one game when he took over. And then it came out he was battling patellar tendon injury, like at his knee. So he had that injury there, and he didn't tell anybody till last year that he'd been dealing with that. And he played against Ohio State with the cast on his hand. He had 2 screws in his hand. So he's shown that toughness quotient. I just think with his size and everything, Chris, I know he only had 6 carries for 104 yards. He did have those 2 touchdowns, 2 of the 3 longest in college football playoff history.
Yeah, they were big runs.
Derrick Henry, the first
one he had was really impressive.
But Blake Corum's a guy that's had back-to-back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons. He's been the guy that had, you know, 1,400 yards last year in only 12 games. He had over 1,000 this year. But Donovan Edwards, to me, just screams guy that can take over at the next level. Because sometimes, you know, you don't have your chance. He's obviously waited his time behind Blake Corum. But I think due to his size, he is 6'1". It is a difference in size with Blake Corum. But I even texted you during the game when he took off today. He didn't give me chances. He only had 6 carries. We didn't really see him in the receiving game either, but he can get over 30 catches this season for Michigan. But, you know, maybe Blake Corum's the guy, but for some reason, deep down, I really like Donovan Edwards as the pro.
I agree with you. I think that Edwards projects as the better pro between the two. Blake Corum's like 5'8", and shorter running backs, it's a lot harder to play at the NFL level. You project more so as a backup change of pace guy. But when you're 6'1", you know, 210, like Donovan Edwards is, there's a little bit more there for you, and teams are going to give you a little bit more of a chance. So I do agree with you as far as Donovan Edwards goes. I think he does project a little bit better as a pro.
And he proved toughness too, because, you know, playing with that cast on his hand against Ohio State.
Yeah.
But he knew he had to step up.
Right.
He knew he had to step up for a situation where Blake Corum got hurt. But this season, 30 catches, 249 yards. I know his yards per carry and things were down this year, but it kind of surprised a lot of people that he sat there and had those injuries that he was dealing with last year. And, you know, in a couple spot starts that he had for Blake Corum, not this year, but the year before, he had 216 yards, 185, 119 down the stretch. So he really took over and helped out where Blake Corum was missing for the team last year.
On the other sideline there, you had Washington, Michael Penix Jr., 27 of 51, 255 yards, a touchdown, 2 picks. Not the greatest performance, especially coming off that great performance he had against Texas in the semifinal. Dylan Johnson, who was battling through injuries in that game on Monday night, 11 carries, 33 yards. He also had 2 catches for 33 yards. And then their trio of wide receivers that will be playing on Sundays this fall, Romo Dunze, 5 catches for 87. Jalen Polk, 4 catches for 37. Plus, he also had 1 carry for a yard. And then you had Jalen McMillan, who had 6 catches for 33 yards. And he also had 9 yards on 1 rush. I don't think that this is one of those games where you should penalize Washington's players draft-wise for this game. I understand if this were like if they'd have come out against Texas and got washed like this, but they played well against a very talented Texas team, and then they just played a better team and their offense did not look very good.
Yeah,
I'm not going to hold that against the Washington Huskies for how they played on as far as these players go. I'm not going to hold against them for how the team played on Monday.
Because we haven't seen a defense this good in a while. Michigan's defense was legit. So you had Penix in these guys, and they hadn't lost all year. You know, they'd been in some close games, but you were going against the number one defense in the country, the number one points per game against defense, number two passing defense in the country in Michigan. It was going to be tough. I mean, this is Michael Penix going again as close to an NFL defense that you can face in Michigan. So it is kind of hard to pressure him. He wasn't as accurate as what he's been. There were some plays left on the field. I mean, we could have had touchdowns, but the Michigan defense was in his face and rattling him the entire time. And really, you have to take a look at who they played and credit the Michigan defense, because they should be credited for how good they played in this game. But Michael Penix ran against a very good team. I can't blame him 100% for what happened in the game. He had some misses. Of course, everybody does. But, yeah, people were tearing him apart in his draft style. I think he got himself out of the first round. I think that was maybe a little too harsh on Michael Penix, because, listen, this guy has a strong arm. He is accurate. Yes, there was times in this game against a great defense he didn't look that great.
Yeah, I kind of feel like the whole like talent evaluation aspect of it is very much reactionary game to game. And so it's much in the same way with like Caleb Williams. We're initially at the start of the season, USC's thriving, their offense is playing great, and at that point nobody's questioning the veracity to the idea that Caleb Williams is going to be that number one overall pick. Then all of a sudden USC starts struggling. We start to find out that their defense, which both you and I thought in week zero was suspect, was actually suspect when they started playing good teams, and then their offense wasn't able to keep up because their playmakers weren't able to go out there.
We talked about this after one game.
San Jose State game.
Hey, the defense sucks.
They were not good. And we brought up the fact that defense was going to be a problem, because what was it, like 34 points or whatever they gave up to San Jose State? It was not a good performance in week zero. And we called that out. It's like, that's not good for USC. And, you know, obviously since then, their season completely fell apart. And they're, you know, it's going to be real tough here because Lincoln Riley he's going to have to answer some questions now. But, you know, we both brought that up. And yet so many people have held that against Caleb Williams, that the team was losing all these games. And it's like, well, hold on. I'm not going to judge a player specifically on the team's performance, good or bad. I'm going to judge it on their own individual performance. What traits do I see? How do they perform under pressure and things like that? Are they going out there and doing everything they can? And to me, the people that are going to hold that against Penix, they don't know what they're watching. To me, if you're going to hold that against Penix and say, you're not a first-round quarterback because of this one game right here, even though last week everyone was singing his praises after he went out there and did what he did against Texas, those crazy-ass throws.
Yeah, and we could talk about Drake May, the other quarterback, but he was in the title. He got his team to the title.
That's what I'm saying. If Drake May can be absolved of any blame for North Carolina not being anywhere near the college football playoff, you can't then penalize guys like Caleb Williams and Michael Penix for getting there, or in the case of Williams, he didn't get there, but in the case of Penix, getting there and then not winning at all.
They say two of the biggest knocks on him, obviously his age. He's 23 years old.
Which I don't think matters.
I don't think so. 23 years old is not that big of a deal. What is a big deal, and I could see, is injury history, all right? Okay, he's had two season-ending ACL tears, and he's had the AC joint. He's had four seasons end with
Indiana
injuries. Yeah, Indiana, but two season-ending ACL injuries. That's more to be concerned about than anything else.
Right. And the thing is, you knew that before the season anyways. We knew that before he transferred to Washington from Indiana. So it's not like we're learning anything new there. So if you had
serious injuries because the AC joint in the shoulder.
Yeah, which it's understandable. I mean, he's playing for Indiana. He got hit a lot. It's going to happen. So, but he's been able to stay healthy the last 2 years at Washington, and he's played great. I think he's more than proven that he deserves to be in. Obviously, we'll see what happens with the combine and pro days and whatnot, but I think he deserves to be in that conversation for the top quarterback.
People forget about the season once they go to the Indianapolis for the combine.
Right.
Guys will shoot up. Caleb Williams will shoot right back up. I mean,
my dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim. Located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valenti, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You and I are going to look at all the mocks here in a little bit to say who the Chiefs are taking, but most of the mocks still have him going number one overall.
There is one thing, though, that I find hilarious. I was looking at mocks earlier. I didn't put this on the rundown. I was thinking about this earlier. J.J. McCarthy is projected to go top 15, like every mock I've seen since Monday. And it's ridiculous. J.J. McCarthy, we've brought this up many times, about his statistical decline over the last couple months. Really, it was like late October. His decline statistically. And granted, they were playing good defenses, but man, like, J.J. McCarthy did not look as good as Penix on Monday night.
I thought he was a first-round pick early in the season.
Yeah, really. We're talking about like before the season started. And then as the season went along, probably what, by mid to late October, I think you kind of got on board with him probably being like a second or third round pick.
Here's his last five games, Chris, passing yardage-wise. 140, 221, 147, 148, 141.
Yeah.
Didn't even sniff 200 yards except for one game.
He had a 68-yard game against Penn State. 68 yards.
I mean, he's a leader. He's got the quotient that people look at. But early in the season, he had 280, 278, 143, then 214. But three touchdowns, two touchdowns, two touchdowns, touchdown. And then he was, you know, asked to stop doing it as much. And it's not like he ran the ball a ton either, because he had minus 35 yards three games ago.
He does not run the
25
football.
Yards and 31 yards. Maybe it's a leadership quotient, but his numbers don't scream out to you. This is going to be one of those projected picks. Like, what do you project him to do?
Yeah, I think he's kind of getting the Will Levis hype.
Yeah, he's got the intangible, the leadership and the winner and stuff like that. But you do have to have the other stuff too.
And like,
you gotta have both.
And you remember, like, this time a year ago, I think both of us were very skeptical about Will Levis as a first round quarterback. We were hoping because it was going to help the Chiefs out. Yeah. But I think we were both skeptical about Levis's chances of being
a first-round quarterback. Dude got his coach fired.
Yeah, he got his coach fired. And then, you know what happens? He ends up dropping all the way to the second round and gets taken by the Titans there. And it's just like, dude.
Left Kansas City.
Yeah. It's just like, that right there is a sign. That's all I need to know right there. Is like, he fell very quickly. Very quickly fell after teams got to see his abilities in that pre-draft situation. And I kind of feel like this is going to be the same thing with JJ. Like, I'm not buying that he's a first-round quarterback at all. If someone does, and I don't say this about a lot of players.
Though.
I hope he is. But I'll say this. Anybody that takes JJ McCarthy in the first round is asking to get fired within 3 years. Like, seriously. They're asking to get fired within 3 years if you take him in the first round. I just do not think that is the best way to use a first-round pick. And I think a lot of people are buying off this hype because all year long, people have been trying to make that man a first-round pick at quarterback. And I just view him as like what Brock Purdy was for the San Francisco 49ers this year, a really good game manager. And that's cool. That's good to be a game manager because it works, and you win a lot of games if you have a good team around that player. I don't think that that's something that you can really count on at the NFL level.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Then, of course, the other interest to me was those three receivers. Odunze, Polk, McMillan. Odunze took some hits, too. Guys are saying, well, has he really got it? Five catches, 86. Listen, Odunze's it. He's legit. He's extremely physical at what he does. He creates separation. I think Rome Odunze is a top 10 pick. Jalen McMillan actually showed me something. 6 for 33. He showed some toughness, man. I know he's been hurt a lot this year.
Yeah.
Jalen Polk's a guy that I've liked the whole year. Mm-hmm. I've liked Jalen Polk.
You've been talking about him a lot.
Big misses from time to time.
Yes, he does.
He's a transfer from Texas Tech. Big physical guy, but he does have the key misses from time to time, Chris, which I think is a concern.
I was on the McMillan hype train from day one. He did show a lot in the in the last few games of the season, especially in the college football playoff. Real toughness. Like, I'm gonna tell you this. Like, I'm not gonna hold anything against those receivers either, just because they were playing a great Michigan defense with a great scheme, and they weren't allowing anything down the field. Like, it was all short passes the entire game. Nothing down the field.
And a ton of pressure.
And there was a lot of pressure, and these guys were getting hit quick. They were tackling really well. There was a lot of plays that worked for Washington because Washington is like, we'll catch the ball, break a tackle, get a lot of yards after the catch. Michigan wasn't allowing that to happen. And they were kind of doing what a lot of NFL defenses are doing, which is we'll stop everything and we'll force you to throw the ball into the flats, and then we'll just come up and tackle you. And it has worked really well for Michigan this year, and that's not the fault of the receivers. If they're taking away the deep ball and you're taking what the defense can give you, which is the general philosophy against zone, and then they just do a really good job of tackling you, there's nothing you can really do in that situation. They got you beat, and that's what happened on Monday night.
I do like Odunze's physicality. Polk comes in at 6'2". Odunze coming in about 6'3".
Yeah, 6'3".
Jalen McMillan showed a lot of toughness for his size. I was kind of high on him beginning of the year. Then he had those games where he was out with injuries this year. But I think Jalen McMillan will end up being a pretty good pro.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I think all three of these guys will be either.
And he's 6'1". I think one first-rounder, though, now.
Yeah, Odunze. I think so, too. I think Odunze is a first-round, probably top 15 somewhere. And I think McMillan and Polk are somewhere on day two. So there was other news that came out on Monday, and this is in regards to Black Monday, NFL's worst holiday. This is when you see most of the coaches get fired, who are going to get fired, and we had a lot of vacancies pop up here. We had a vacancy pop up here today because your news came out earlier that Pete Carroll likely going to be out of Seattle. So now, as far as for coaching openings, you've got Washington. They let go of Ron Rivera. You've got the Chargers, who let go of Brandon Staley a month ago. You've got Atlanta, who's, I think there was some surprise there that they got rid of Arthur Smith. Vegas, who way
early.
He'll
be fine. His daddy owns FedEx.
Yeah, they got Vegas very early, got rid of what's his face, Josh McDaniels. Carolina, who fired Frank Reich in the middle of the season. Tennessee, very surprisingly, fired Mike Vrabel yesterday. Seattle, and then we're waiting to see what happens in New England. So from a coaching standpoint, let's say you are a head coach and you're looking at, or you're a prospective head coach, and you have the opportunity to go anywhere of these current vacancies. I'll let you take New England too, because, you know, there's a good chance that happens. Of those vacancies, which one would you want to take if you were a head coach looking to take over a franchise?
Well, I know there's some college football vacancies too, but Michigan and Alabama, the number one, number two winningest teams in college football, are open. And to me, that's an NFL job too. That's just as good as an NFL job. But so,
I don't know if that necessarily is true. I think Saban made it into that. I don't know if that is.
With
that,
Neil and the transfer portal, it's become a lot more like NFL. The gap between NFL and college coaches isn't there like it used to be. But of these teams, just the NFL jobs, Chris, when you ask me that question, I would take LA, the Chargers. And here's why. Justin Herbert. I'm looking at these teams. All right, who has the franchise quarterback? Where can we start with there and then build around him? Bring somebody in with a good scheme defensively. Offensively, this team has moved the football at times. Listen, I think the Chargers need a lot of work, but here's the downfall. You're in a division with Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. That is a major thing, but these guys have egos the size of Texas, right? They think they can get it done. And if you are the Chiefs primed to keep the streak going of 8 straight division titles, no, at some point it will fall apart. But even if you finish second and still get into the playoffs, you have Justin Herbert. Listen, I love Atlanta, and I love the skill position, especially the running back situation in Atlanta with Tyler Allgeier and Bijan. I love that. But I would pick the Chargers. It's a cheap team. They're going to have to pay. They're notoriously a cheap team. I think Washington will open up the checkbook.
Spanos does not like to spend a lot of money.
I think Washington will open up the checkbook. Seattle is interesting to me. Very interesting. But the Chargers, because of Herbert, I feel that they have the best quarterback under contract going.
I agree with you. I think the Chargers would be the most enticing of these openings just because you have an established great quarterback. All these other teams here, Washington, Atlanta, Vegas, Carolina, Tennessee, they either are trying to figure out if their quarterback is good or they know their quarterback isn't good. Like Washington locked in the number 2 overall pick. Probably going to take a quarterback.
It's Sam Howell is the yardage leader for the season.
Yeah, he was also the interceptions leader.
Now they're going to start over. Tennessee, terrible situation. Seattle.
Tennessee's probably going to – they're still trying to figure out if Levis is good.
Yeah,
they're
still.
Seattle doesn't – I mean, they got a stopgap as their starter right now in Geno. Carolina doesn't – we don't know if Bryce Young is good. He didn't look good this year. Vegas has Aiden O'Connell. Probably,
Bryce Young's still a question mark.
Probably not your guy. I mean – Atlanta, they benched Desmond Ridder, and then they put him back in because of injury to Heinicke. So what do they have going for him? I mean, I think it's very obviously the Chargers. But I will say this, though. Washington is in a really strong position to get a quarterback. And they've got a lot of talent on their team. Their offensive line is awful. They're terrible. If they can get a good quarterback and they can shore up their offensive line, they've got a lot of good weapons on their offense. You got Scary Terry. You got Jahan Dotson, my guy from the 22 draft that the Chiefs unfortunately weren't able to take. I still like Curtis Samuel a lot. I think they got a good backfield there with Brian Robinson Jr. and Antonio Gibson. And I like what they have. They just need someone there who can lead them and mold that team on the field and on the sidelines. You get a good coach, get a good quarterback, I think that thing turns around. So I really like that situation there. And I also really like the Seattle situation because all they need is a quarterback. They got weapons on that offense.
Oh, yeah.
You got DK, you got JSN, you got Tyler Lockett, even though I think he's kind of running on fumes a little bit. You got Kenneth Walker and Zach Charbonnet, two great running backs there. Your defense, I think, is really talented. I really like that situation that they have there. But I agree with you, Chargers all the way. And to me, I think that's the reason why Harbaugh is going to make that jump over to the Chargers. It just makes too much sense.
The Raiders really want Harbaugh, but Antonio Pierce may have done enough and should have done enough.
I don't think Harbaugh – like, I know Harbaugh is going to try to use that to get money out of Spanos because he knows that Spanos is probably a little cheap. But I don't think Harbaugh's really that interested in going to the Raiders. I think the Chargers with their established quarterback, because you know how Harbaugh is. Harbaugh is not going to make the leap from Michigan to the NFL without some assurances that he's going to have some talent to coach. Like, there's a reason why he chose the 49ers. The 49ers were a team that was primed and ready to win. They were just very much mismanaged by Mike Singletary when he was their head coach. He took over and he got them right. This will be a situation where he could take over and he could get a team that's really talented right.
Yeah, the rumors were with Harbaugh and the Raiders. Those were coming out with some of the comments he made. But again, it's Mark Davis who knows about the, you know, how much money they're
that was the
spend.
Initial, but then it's kind of switched.
Because
like
Harbaugh's tired of uncertainty. He's tired of getting suspended twice.
Right.
In Michigan. He hates the uncertainty.
No, he doesn't like
it. And the Raiders have uncertainty.
Yeah, and not only that, but like they haven't been well run. From the standpoint of going to the Chargers, he's going to have a lot more freedom to do what he wants. And on top of that, he's going to have a quarterback.
The quarterback has a quarterback.
And that's big. Having a quarterback is much better than going to a team that's going to have to probably draft one. So now let's get to our mock draft roundup list of all the different players that these different mock drafts have the Chiefs taking. This one is pretty comprehensive here over the last few weeks. So starting off with Chris Trapasso from CBS, his Chiefs taking Tyler Guyton, tackle out of Oklahoma. That was the last time we did this. That was like the real popular pick.
It was him and
Patrick Paul.
These are recent mocks. These are ones that came out this week. So
yeah, so these are the ones post. These are all came out this week. Most of these are post the college football playoff. But yeah, Tyler Guyton, very popular pick for the Chiefs. At least non wide receiver pick.
It would be talked about a lot more, I think, if Wanye Morris wasn't hurt less. In the concussion protocol now that he showed more. I think Wanye did show some things for being a rookie in this league. He wasn't always perfect, but he did show, I think, this team some stuff.
I think he's shown enough to where
they don't go first round tackle.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Josh Edwards from CBS had them taking Emeka Egbuka, wide receiver at Ohio State. I think both of us would not want to see that.
No,
that would be a head scratcher.
There's
right
a lot
there.
Of good receivers. I listen. I mean, Emeka is a good receiver, but I think he did benefit a lot from Marvin Harrison. This is one of the situations you have where we've seen this a lot. There's so many teams with more than one good receiver. I mean, almost all of them have somebody on the other side. Yeah. I think he really benefited from Marvin Harrison, but he didn't show me. He didn't flash and pop like man.
No.
You got to be scared of this guy. I think in the first round, there's other choices.
If you watched Ohio State, you would never know that Emeka Egbuka is being projected as a first-round wide receiver. If you watched him any point this year, you would never know that he was projected as a first-round wide receiver because he does not play like it. He plays like someone who's probably going to be a good – like he plays like someone who's going to be like a DeMarcus Robinson type in the league. Like probably going to play for a few teams. He'll be a good, dependable player that's like your fourth receiver, and he'll have like a good career, but nothing where you're like, oh my God, like that guy is going, we have to re-sign, we have to draft that guy, we have to re-sign him, he's going to be a star for us. I don't see that for him. I think Egbuka's probably going to travel around, play for a few different teams, and he'll just be a good, dependable backup
wide receiver.
See what he does
in the combine. See what he does in the combine.
We'll see what he does in the combine.
An opportunity to do some good
stuff. Yeah, and you know, certainly, you know, he can impress teams with what he does during that whole pre-draft situation, pro days, interviews, stuff like that. Maybe he puts his value up. I do think he will go first round, but I do not think he's going to be a good pick.
Yeah, 6'1", and again, as silly as it seems, Beach doesn't go Ohio State, man.
He does not draft Ohio State, guys.
That's why I think you take and make another play. Other people are like Josh Edwards, CBS. I don't think you're taking this account. Find somebody else because I don't think he's going. Now the Tyler Guyton from Oklahoma, the tackle pick by Trapasso.
They love those Oklahoma tackles.
Lando Brown Jr. Yeah. was there. Wanye Morris.
They love those Oklahoma and Creed Humphrey was there.
Creed
too.
There.
They love those Oklahoma linemen.
So that's not a stretch.
No. So Connor Livesay from the 33rd team had them taking wide receiver Troy Franklin out of Oregon. I would be very happy with this pick.
6'3".
But something tells me that he's probably going to be available in the second round. So I'm not quite sure you have to take him in the first. You might be able to trade up like you did with Rashi last year, and you might be able to still get him. Well, so
he was the main weapon for Oregon's offense.
Yeah. Bo Nix loved throwing to him.
Beginning of the year, we saw him as a second-round pick. And he made his way into the first round. And then he started to slide back a little bit. But lately he's been, you know, really showing up there, the 20s, late 20s, 24 on to 30. You've seen Troy Franklin start to enter the picture again. This is another guy that's going to have a huge comeback. He stands 6'3", so he does have the height.
I think the 40 time will be really important for him because that's kind of his namesake is being that deep threat down the field. I think if he posts a really impressive 40 time somewhere in the low 4.4s, maybe even the high 4.3s, I think we're talking about a guy who's probably going to be a first-round pick. USA Today, Michael Middlehurst-Schwartz had them taking Brian Thomas Jr. out of wide receiver out of LSU. Me and you both love this guy.
I liked Brian Thomas. 6'4".
He just screams T. Higgins to me. So just being able to have a guy like that on your team, big target. I think he's going to be a little bit faster than people will see him for. I think he's probably a 4.4 guy, maybe somewhere in the mid to high 4.4s. But I definitely think he's got a little bit more wheels on him than people want to give him credit for. And I think I think Brian Thomas Jr. is going to impress a lot of people at the combine and at his pro day for sure.
Here's a guy that's the touchdown machine this year. Again, same situation. You're playing the opposite side of a stud, Malik Nabers. So you had Malik Nabers, who will be a top 10 pick, probably a top 6 pick in the draft this year. It's why you don't see him a lot mocked to the Chiefs because of, you know, everybody having him going early.
Yeah, he's going way too high. But he's not going to be a Chief.
But Brian Thomas is a stud, and he was the go-to guy in the red zone for this LSU team. And again, just think about LSU. And I know it was a different coach, different scheme and all that, but Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase did come from the same offense with Joe Burrow, who won the Heisman. Well, Jaden Daniels won the Heisman at LSU this year, say the Heisman-winning trophy quarterback, who's now slated to be a top-5 pick in the NFL, to be honest with you. And I like that a lot because I like Jaden Daniels. But Brian Thomas is certainly a guy that's going to be looked upon.
Yeah, I think – and he was a deep threat too. Like, I know that in their bowl game against Wisconsin, like he showed his ability to get open down the field and make those plays. I mean, all year long. Even though he's 6'4", even though he's not like this crazy burner, he's still a great deep threat. And that's why I think his speed is probably a little bit deceptive because of his height. He was actually a really good deep threat for them. He was actually a better deep threat than Malik Nabers was this year. So I think that's one of the things that really kind of allows him to succeed.
His average in certain games, that Georgia game, Florida, Alabama, okay, three good defenses right there. 25.8, 25.
Florida's defense was terrible.
Well, but Georgia, 25.8 yard average, yeah, and a touchdown, 4 for 103 against Georgia. Gets Alabama 3 for 36, 12-yard average, so Alabama kind of shut him down. Then he had 124 yards at Ole Miss, 15.5 average against Arkansas, 26.6 yard average. So it's getting down the field and did tie for the nation lead in touchdowns of 15, just one more than Malik Nabers.
Yeah, like I said, he's the deep threat on that team, and he's – was the tallest receiver they had. So I really like what he could bring. And if he were to go to the Chiefs, I'd be really excited to see what he could do with this offense. Then Bleacher Report has the Chiefs taking Emeka Egbuka, wide receiver, Ohio State. Trevor Sikkema from PFF has them taking Keon Coleman, wide receiver out of Florida State.
Here's the run. If you're a Keon Coleman fan, there's a big run on Keon Coleman.
To me,
a guy that was 12, 13, 14, he's now slid to where the Chiefs are.
Yeah.
But Keon Coleman is now the hot name for the Kansas City Chiefs.
I'm not buying it. I've been very adamant about Keon Coleman the entire year. I think that he is going to go way higher than this. I think he's going to – I don't think he slides past like 15. I think the only way I see it is if he runs like a 4.5 40, which I don't see happening. I think he's going to be somewhere in that high 4.3, low 4.4 number for 40 time. And if he does that, I think he's probably going to be the second receiver taken off the board because he is a unicorn as far as his athleticism goes. If he is 4.3 speed at 6.4, 215, that's basically what T.O. was from a physical profile standpoint.
He's
that's
like
T.O.
a faster version of Puka, to be honest with
you. Yeah.
Because Puka's 6'2", he's 6'4", Keon Coleman, and a returner at 6'4". I like Keon Coleman. I know he didn't have over 700 yards. He didn't have those eye-popping stats, but it's the offense and what Florida State ran. But I do like some Keon Coleman.
Me too. And I just think that with his level of physical talent, I just feel like there's going to be some team out there that's like, we got to have that guy because look at the kind of athlete he is. I mean, look at Treylon Burks. Treylon Burks was a guy that I think a lot of people thought would be late first round, and then he gets taken 18 by the Titans, who traded away A.J. Brown and then drafted him with that first round pick that they got from the Eagles for him. And it was very apparent that they really liked that. Even though Treylon Burks actually didn't even run a great – it was like a 4.5 40, so it wasn't even that impressive – but still, like, it was a player that a lot of teams looked at and liked because of that athleticism at that size. I think it's going to be the same thing with Keon Coleman, except I think he goes higher. Draft Countdown also has the Chiefs taking Keon Coleman.
I love these mocks. These guys that do these mocks because I look at them every year, but the Keon Coleman train begins now.
Yeah. JP Acosta from SB Nation also has the Chiefs taking Keon Coleman.
I don't know how much these guys are copying off each other, but a lot of people
are copying off each other. Oliver Hodgkinson from Pro Football Network also has them taking Keon Coleman.
Wow.
Draft Tech also has them taking Keon Coleman. And then Cody Williams from Fanside has them taking A.D. Mitchell, wide receiver out of Texas.
This guy I've liked all year. I love the Texas receivers. A.D. Mitchell, Xavier Worthy. I like the physicality of them. I like their catch radius. I like the way they catch the football. But A.D. Mitchell, a guy that's transferred from Georgia, this is going against the grain here. We've seen him mocked early on to the Kansas City Chiefs in a way. But it is interesting with the fan side taking A.D. Mitchell once again. I've been high on this guy. You see him as a Donna or AD. It's either one.
Yeah, it's either one. I like him. I would be very happy if the Chiefs took him, but I would not want them to take him over a Brian Thomas Jr. If Brian Thomas Jr. is off the board, if Keon Coleman's off the board, then yeah, I'm cool with them going out and taking A.D. Mitchell. He was very successful at Georgia last year. This past season, very successful at Texas. Good size to him, 6'3". He's a little bit smaller though. I think he's under 200 pounds at least right now. But he's got good speed. He's really good after the catch. Tough to bring down. Very agile. I'm going to guess probably somewhere in that low 4.4s as far as 40 time goes. So he's a spectacular athlete. And I think that this is going to be a guy that if he were to go to the Chiefs, he could be able to take the top off the defense. And he could make some difficult 50-50 catches over some defenders, which is kind of what you need to do in today's NFL because all these teams are playing 2 and 3 deep in every coverage, and so you need a guy that can go out and catch it in traffic down the field.
Back-to-back years at Georgia, won 2 national titles. You got to look at his average, though. 14.7, 14.9, and 15.4 this year. He gets down the field, and he's got that explosion that you're looking for. 11 touchdowns this year. Again, that 6'4 frame. I like some A.D. Mitchell.
And he's not just a deep threat guy. He can catch short passes, catch it over the middle, break a tackle, get some yards. He's very good at running routes. I mean, he brings a lot to the table. He's a very talented – he's not as physically gifted as a Malik Nabers, Keon Coleman, Romo Dunze, Marvin Harrison Jr., but he's on that second tier as far as being very, very good at his craft. He's got a lot of skills that he's developed in his time at the two different schools he's played at. And he's still got a very explosive physical talent.
He's a winner. He's a big reason they made the college football playoffs. He's won 2 rings before he even got to Texas.
Yeah. And he overtook, because you remember at the beginning of the season, Xavier Worthy was the guy there. And then A.D. Mitchell very slowly overtook him as the top receiver that they have at Texas. So that should tell you a lot because Xavier Worthy was a guy that we heard about a lot before the season. Really talented player. Played well this year.
Had over 1,000 yards.
Played well this year.
A.D. Mitchell.
But A.D. showed a little bit more of that explosiveness, and that's what made him that top guy there at Texas. Moving on there, touchdown wire, Doug Farrar, Keon Coleman, wide receiver.
You've heard of him a lot. Doug Farrar's moved around a lot.
Yeah, he has moved around a lot.
I've seen him at different places. Yeah. He's a fan sided now. He has Keon Coleman as well.
Yeah, he's moved around a lot. Keith Sanchez, from the Draft Network has the Chiefs taking Xavier Worthy from Texas. NFL mocks, Hunter Haas. Oh,
here's one thing about Xavier. The 5 touchdowns, 13.5 yards average, 1,014 yards receiving. But here's the deal, though, Chris. 22 returns, punt returns for 371 yards and a touchdown. It's a 16.9 yard average. So very good returner as well. It's one of those guys you let return a little bit as a rookie. And then all of a sudden he turns into Tyreek Hill. You don't want him to.
Yeah, yeah. You definitely, once you've established someone as a great receiver.
But his 40 you take time intrigues me because I will see what happens.
That's going to be really.
He's over 6 foot.
Especially as a return man, yeah. He's going to be very.
His 160 is very slight.
Yeah. And so, like, he would kind of fit in with that Tyreek Hill mode. He's probably going to have to put on some weight.
It's a very popular Chiefs mock pick. Early on. Again,
he's still getting.
Early on, it was Xavier. It was Tavian Sanders, the tight end, and Xavier Worthy. A lot from Texas.
Right, and he's probably – I think Xavier's still going to be one of the more popular mocks to the Chiefs, regardless of what happens, unless he's really slow at the combine. I think he's going to be someone that gets mocked to the Chiefs just because of that ability to be that gadget player. The Chiefs love gadget players. Obviously, we saw that with Tyreek. We've seen it with McColl. We've seen it with Kadarius. They love those type of guys. So I think there's value there with Xavier. Then NFL mocks, Hunter Haas has them taking Brian Thomas Jr. Tankathon has them taking Brian Thomas Jr. Jeff Risden from DraftWire has them taking Patrick Paul, tackle out of Houston, who's the most popular tackle that was being mocked to the Chiefs the last time we did this. And then finally, SportsNot, Andrew Buller Russ has them taking Troy Franklin from Oregon. So mostly wide receivers, not as many tackle mocks as we received before.
A lot of Keon Coleman and Brian Thomas Jr.
Tons
those
of
are the popular
Keon Coleman
picks.
And Brian Thomas Jr. I would love either of those guys, especially Keon. Like I said, if Keon runs a killer 40 time, I don't think he's going to be there. I think it's all on the 40 time for him because 6'4", 215, this is a return man. And at the collegiate level, if you're the return man on a Power 5 school, you're incredibly athletic because it doesn't matter what position you play. If you're a running back, if you're a wide receiver, if you're a defensive back, if you are the best man for that job, they'll put you out there. And they put the 6'4", 215 wide receiver out there to return kicks. That says a lot, especially because that
is the seams. Beach doesn't go Ohio State, man.
He does not draft Ohio State, guys.
That's why I think you take and make another play. Other people are like Josh Edwards, CBS. I don't think you're taking this to account. Find somebody else because I don't think he's going. Now the Tyler Guyton from Oklahoma, the tackle pick. But your positive.
They love those Oklahoma tackles.
Orlando Brown Jr. Yeah. was there. Wanya Morris.
They love those Oklahoma and Creed Humphrey was there.
Creed
too.
There.
They love those Oklahoma linemen.
So that's not a stretch.
No. So Connor Livesay from the 33rd team had them taking wide receiver Troy Franklin out of Oregon. I would be very happy with this pick.
6'3".
But something tells me that he's probably going to be available in the second round. So I'm not quite sure you have to take him in the first. You might be able to trade up like you did with Rashi last year, and you might be able to still get him. Well, so
he was the main weapon for Oregon's offense.
Yeah. The beginning Bo of the Nicks year, loved throwing to him.
Beginning of the year, we saw him as a second-round pick, and he made his way into the first round. And then he started to slide back a little bit. But lately, he's been really showing up there, the 20s, late 20s, 24 on to 30. Yeah. You've seen Troy Franklin start to enter the picture again. This is another guy that's going to have a huge comeback. He stands 6'3", so he does have the height.
I think the 40 time will be really important for him because that's kind of his namesake is being that deep threat down the field. I think if he posts a really impressive 40 time somewhere in the low 4.4s, maybe even the high 4.3s, I think we're talking about a guy who's probably going to be a first-round pick. USA Today, Michael Middlehurst-Schwartz had them taking Brian Thomas Jr. out of wide receiver out of LSU. Me and you both love this guy.
I liked Brian Thomas.
6'4". He just screams T. Higgins to me. So just being able to have a guy like that on your team, big target. I think he's going to be a little bit faster than people will see him for. I think he's probably a 4.4 guy, maybe somewhere in the mid to high 4.4s. But I definitely think he's got a little bit more wheels on him than people want to give him credit for. And I think I think Brian Thomas Jr. is going to impress a lot of people at the combine and at his pro day for sure.
Here's a guy that's the touchdown machine this year. Again, same situation. You're playing the opposite side of a stud, Malik Nabers. So you had Malik Nabers, who will be a top 10 pick, probably a top 6 pick in the draft this year. That's why you don't see him a lot mocked to the Chiefs because of, everybody having him going early.
Yeah, he's going way too high. But Brian Thomas, gonna be a Chief.
But Brian Thomas is a stud, and he was the go-to guy in the red zone for this LSU team. And again, just think about LSU. And I know it was a different coach, different scheme and all that, but Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase did come from the same offense with Joe Burrow, who won the Heisman. Well, Jaden Daniels won the Heisman at LSU this year, say the Heisman-winning trophy quarterback, who's now slated to be a top-5 pick in the NFL, to be honest with you. And I like that a lot because I like Jaden Daniels. But Brian Thomas is certainly a guy that's going to be looked upon.
Yeah, I think – and he was a deep threat too. Like, I know that in their bowl game against Wisconsin, like he showed his ability to get open down the field and make those plays. I mean, all year long. Even though he's 6'4", even though he's not like this crazy burner, he's still a great deep threat. And that's why I think his speed is probably a little bit deceptive because of his height. He was actually a really good deep threat for them. He was actually a better deep threat than Malik Nabers was this year. So I think that's one of the things that really kind of allows him to succeed.
His average in certain games, that Georgia game, Florida, Alabama, okay, three good defenses right there. 25.8,
Florida.
25.
Florida's defense was terrible.
Well, but Georgia, 25.8 yard average and a touchdown, 4 for 103 against Georgia. Gets Alabama 3 for 36, 12-yard average, so Alabama kind of shut him down. Then he had 124 yards at Ole Miss, 15.5 average against Arkansas, 26.6 yard average. So it's getting down the field and did tie for the nation lead in touchdowns with 15, just one more than Malik Nabers.
Yeah, like I said, he's the deep threat on that team, and was the tallest receiver they had. So I really like what he could bring, and if he were to go to the Chiefs, I'd be really excited to see what he could do with this offense. Then Bleacher Report has the Chiefs taking Emeka Egbuka, wide receiver, Ohio State. Trevor Sikkema from PFF has them taking Keon Coleman, wide receiver out of Florida State.
Here's the run. If you're a Keon Coleman fan, there's a big run on Keon Coleman.
To me,
a guy that was 12, 13, 14, he's now slid to where the Chiefs are.
Yeah.
But Keon Coleman is now the hot name for the Kansas City Chiefs.
I'm not buying it. I've been very adamant about Keon Coleman the entire year. I think that he is going to go way higher than this. I think he's going to. I don't think he slides past like 15. I think the only way I see it is if he runs like a 4.5 40, which I don't see happening. I think he's going to be somewhere in that high 4.3, low 4.4 number for 40 time. And if he does that, I think he's probably going to be the second receiver taken off the board, because he is a unicorn as far as his athleticism goes. If he is 4.3 speed at 6.4, 215, that's basically what T.O. was from a physical profile standpoint.
He's
that's
like
T.O.
a faster version of Puka, to be honest with
you. Yeah.
Because Puka's 6'2", he's 6'4", Keon Coleman, and a returner at 6'4". I like Keon Coleman. I know he didn't have over 700 yards. He didn't have those eye-popping stats, but it's the offense and what Florida State ran. But I do like some Keon Coleman.
Me too. And I just think that with his level of physical talent, I just feel like there's going to be some team out there that's like, we got to have that guy, because look at the kind of athlete he is. I mean, look at Treylon Burks. Treylon Burks was a guy that I think a lot of people thought would be late first round, and then he gets taken 18 by the Titans, who traded away A.J. Brown and then drafted him with that first round pick that they got from the Eagles for him. And it was very apparent that they really liked that, even though Treylon Burks actually didn't even run a great – it was like a 4.5 40, so it wasn't even that impressive. But still, like, it was that was a player that a lot of teams looked at and liked because of that athleticism at that size. I think it's going to be the same thing with Keon Coleman, except I think he goes higher. Draft Countdown also has the Chiefs taking Keon Coleman.
I put these. I love these mocks. I love these guys that do these mocks, because I look at them every year. But the Keon Coleman train begins now.
Yeah. J.P. Acosta from SB Nation also has the Chiefs taking Keon Coleman.
Now, I don't know how much these guys are copying off each other, but a lot of people like
they
Keon
probably
Coleman.
Are copying off each other. Oliver Hodgkinson from Pro Football Network also has them taking Keon Coleman.
Wow.
Draft Tech also has them taking Keon Coleman. And then Cody Williams from Fanside has them taking A.D. Mitchell, wide receiver out of Texas.
This is a guy I've liked all year. I love the Texas receivers. A.D. Mitchell, Xavier Worthy. I like the physicality of them. I like their catch radius. I like the way they catch the football. But A.D. Mitchell, a guy that's transferred from Georgia, this is going against the grain here. We've seen him mocked early on to the Kansas City Chiefs in a way, but it is interesting with the fan side taking A.D. Mitchell once again. I've been high on this guy. You see him as a Donnie or A.D. It's either one.
Yeah, it's either one. I like him. I would be very happy if the Chiefs took him, but I would not want them to take him over a Brian Thomas Jr. If Brian Thomas Jr. is off the board, if Keon Coleman's off the board, then yeah, I'm cool with them going out and taking A.D. Mitchell. He was very successful at Georgia last year. This past season, very successful at Texas. Good size to him, 6'3". He's a little bit smaller though. I think he's under 200 pounds, at least right now. But he's got good speed. He's really good after the catch, tough to bring down, very agile. I'm going to guess probably somewhere in that low 4.4s as far as 40 time goes. So he's a spectacular athlete. And I think that this is going to be a guy that if he were to go to the Chiefs, he could be able to take the top off the defense. And he could make some difficult 50-50 catches over some defenders, which is kind of what you need to do in today's NFL, because all these teams are playing two and three deep in every coverage, and so you need a guy that can go out and catch it in traffic down the field.
Back-to-back years at Georgia, won two national titles. You gotta look at his average, though. 14.7, 14.9, and 15.4 this year. He gets down the field, and he's got that explosion that you're looking for. 11 touchdowns this year. Again, that 6'4 frame. I like some AD Mitchell.
And he's not just a deep threat guy. He can catch short passes, catch it over the middle, break a tackle, get some yards. He's very good at running routes. I mean, he brings a lot to the table. He's a very talented – he's not as physically gifted as a Malik Nabers, Keon Coleman, Romo Dunze, Marvin Harrison Jr., but he's on that second tier as far as being very, very good at his craft. He's got a lot of skills that he's developed in his time at the two different schools he's played at, and he's still got a very explosive physical talent.
So. He's a winner. He's a big reason they made the college football playoffs. Big, you know, he's won two rings before he even got to Texas.
Yeah. And he overtook, because you remember at the beginning of the season, Xavier Worthy was the guy there. And then A.D. Mitchell very slowly overtook him as the top receiver that they have at Texas. So that should tell you a lot, because Xavier Worthy was a guy that we heard about a lot before the season. Really talented player. Played well this year.
Had over 1,000 yards.
Played well this year.
A.D. Mitchell.
But A.D. showed a little bit more of that explosiveness, and that's what made him that top guy there at Texas. Moving on there, touchdown wire, Doug Farrar, Keon Coleman, wide receiver.
You've heard of him a lot. Doug Farrar's moved around a lot.
Yeah, he has moved around a lot.
I've seen him at different places. Yeah. He's a fan sided now. He is exactly. Keon Coleman as well.
Yeah, he's moved around a lot. Keith Sanchez, from the Draft Network has the Chiefs taking Xavier Worthy from Texas. NFL mocks, Hunter Haas. Oh, wait,
no, here's one thing about Xavier. The 5 touchdowns, 13.5 yard average, 1,014 yards receiving. But here's the deal, though, Chris. 22 returns, punt returns for 371 yards and a touchdown. It's a 16.9 yard average. So very good returner as well. It's one of those guys you let return a little bit as a rookie, and then all of a sudden he turns into Tyreek Hill. You don't want him to.
Yeah, yeah. You definitely, once you've established someone as a great receiver.
But his 40 time intrigues me, because I will see what happens.
That's going to be really.
He's over 6 foot.
Especially as a return man, yeah. He's going to be very.
His 160 is very slight.
Yeah. And so, like, he would kind of fit in with that Tyreek Hill mode. He's probably going to put on some weight.
But it's a very popular Chiefs mock pick. Early on. Again,
he's,
him and
he's still
early
getting.
On, it was Xavier. It was Tavian Sanders, the tight end, and Xavier Worthy, a lot from Texas.
Right, and he's probably – I think Xavier's still going to be one of the more popular mocks to the Chiefs, regardless of what happens, unless he's really slow at the combine. I think he's going to be someone that gets mocked to the Chiefs just because of that ability to be that gadget player. The Chiefs love gadget players. Obviously, we saw that with Tyreek. We've seen it with McCole. We've seen it with Kadarius. They love those type of guys. So I think there's value there with Xavier. Then NFL mocks, Hunter Haas has them taking Brian Thomas Jr. Tankathon has them taking Brian Thomas Jr. Jeff Risden from DraftWire has them taking Patrick Paul, tackle out of Houston, who's the most popular tackle that was being mocked to the Chiefs the last time we did this. And then finally, SportsNot, Andrew Buller Russ has them taking Troy Franklin from Oregon. So, mostly wide receivers, not as many tackle mocks as we received before.
A lot of Keon Coleman and Brian Thomas Jr.
Tons of Keon Coleman and Brian Thomas Jr. I would love either of those guys, especially Keon. Like I said, if Keon runs a killer 40 time, I don't think he's going to be there. I think it's all on that 40 time for him, because 6'4", 215, this is a return man. And at the collegiate level, if you're the return man on a Power 5 school, you're incredibly athletic, because it doesn't matter what position you play. If you're a running back, if you're a wide receiver, if you're a defensive back, if you are the best man for that job, they'll put you out there. And they put the 6'4", 215 wide receiver out there to return kicks. That says a lot, especially because that school is incredibly talented as far as their players go, and they put him out there to return kicks. So. Yeah. Says a lot about them.
Keon Coleman and Brian Thomas Jr. definitely popular. A couple of Troy Franklins mixed in there.
I like Troy. I like two
offensive linemen with Patrick Paul, the tackle at Houston, and Guyton, the tackle from Oklahoma. But the rest of them are all receivers.
Yes, and that's going to be the play there. Nobody's mocking defensive tackles in the first round.
And we had Brian Thomas in our mock.
We did. We had Brian Thomas in our mock. I'd be cool with him. I'd be cool with A.D. Mitchell. Keon Coleman, those are the three names that I'm looking at that position. Those are the three guys. If, you know, obviously Keon, we'll see, but those are the three guys I'm looking at there. If you're listening to this, you want to get up on these guys, watch their film. You can go on YouTube. You can find, you know, people cutting creating those highlight videos from certain games. You obviously want to watch the games where they played the better teams. So I would say for A.D. Mitchell, the Texas game's really good. I mean, the Alabama game is really good for A.D. Mitchell. He played really
Terrion Arnold, Blake Kool-Aid McKinstry.
Right, yeah. You know, Brian Thomas Jr., I mean, he had a lot of really good games throughout the year.
But they have two NFL corners on that team.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, three. Three on, you're talking about Alabama, right?
With their star position.
Yeah, with the star position is three. So, they, you know, there's a lot of – watch those Alabama games, Georgia, anything like that. Anytime those guys played those teams, watch that. Because that's where you're going to get that really good evaluation against those really top-tier talents. So, next week, we will try to get a show in. We will try to keep you updated on any news that's happening as far as college football goes, as far as the draft goes. Still kind of waiting to see what happens with some of these vacancies here in the NFL, because I think that is going to affect the draft for sure, especially because a lot of these teams also fired their general managers. And the general managers aren't going to want to – not all of them are going to want to buy into the quarterbacks that they currently have. So
we'll see who stays and see who goes when it comes to coaching decisions, because that can still happen.
Yeah, very well can still happen. Another name that is thrown out there as a potential could get fired this year, Mike McCarthy for Dallas. Jerry Jones kind of hinted at that. I honestly think if they do,
what is division?
but
Jerry keeps everybody. Though.
Here's the thing though, Bill Belichick, man.
Yeah,
Bill Belichick.
Bill,
I would not put it past Jerry Jones to go out of his way and trade for Bill Belichick if they do not go. If they don't make it to the title game, or if they lose in the NFC title game, I think Bill Belichick is going to be coaching the Cowboys this fall for sure.
I don't know.
So a lot of people think he's going to be the Falcons head coach or the Commanders head coach, but I would not sleep on the Cowboys if they do not win the NFC this year, because Jerry Jones is desperate to win a championship.
And sorry about the delay. We usually cut these on Monday, obviously. Things semifinals happen. And finals
we had
on
to
Mondays,
hold off because of that.
Hold
so,
off. So,
yeah.
Typically Mondays.
Typically Mondays. We're going to try to get back on that next week. And certainly after that, we're going to try to make sure we're getting back on the regular schedule. Mondays, we'll release on Tuesday morning and make sure that everything is good and set, because this is the time now. Now we're in draft season. Senior Bowl, we're going to make sure that we're on that. We're going to give you our first impressions of that once the practices start, once the game is played, and then definitely make sure you stick with us for combine time.
Who's shining and who's not in Mobile.
Yes, make sure you stick with us for combine time. Combine time is going to be so huge. I'm very excited about the combine coming up here, pro days coming up here. So thank you for taking time out of your day to listen to me and Bink. With that, we look forward to having you listen to us again on the next episode of the Character Concerns podcast.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78 million pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.